Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. I am rejoicing and glad in it. I am thankful. I am grateful. I am feeling so blessed to be a child of God and to know that he loves me. He loves me, and he loves you, and he wants the best for each and every one of you. Thanking God that he gave me another day. Whew, to give him praise, to give him honor, and to let him know how much I love him and rate the blessings that he has given me. Always, I feel like, Lord, I'm going down a slope that I don't want to go down. And God said, I will catch you. I will catch you. God will catch us when we're going down that slippery slope. He's always there. And he wants us to know that he's always there. His word tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we got to make it personal. Bridget, I will never leave you or forsake you. Valerie, I will never leave you or forsake you. Rita, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesse, Tracy, Sandra, Evelyn, Shantina, Adria, Ariel, Daryl. And I could go on and on with Tucson, MD, Linda, Richmond. I will never leave you or forsake you. Carolyn, I'm with you always. Chelsea, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will always be with you. I will cover you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. I will heal the breach. I got you. That's God. He said, I got you. I have a client that we laugh all the time because she's a I can do it myself kind of person. And I'm a I got you person. And there's times that we'll all be saying, I got you. And she's saying, I can do it myself. And I laugh because in life with God, there are times when we think we can do it ourselves. But we get a little wobbly. Because it's meant for God to give us a hand. It's meant for God to give us a hand. We've got to trust him. And the word today comes from Luke chapter 11, and it's very similar to Matthew chapter 6. When Jesus told the disciples, when you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Not my name, not my son's name, not my pastor's name, not my mother's name, parents' name, but your. Hallowed is your name. Father God, hallowed is your name. I thank you, Father God, for forgiving us from our sins. Help us to forgive others, God. Help us to live a right and righteous life, God. Help us to do as you have called us to do, to clean up the messes that we have made, God. But you always send help. You always help us, Lord God, to be better. So, Father God, I give myself away this morning for you to use me, Lord, for your glory, for your honor, for your praise, God. But I know that the battles that are fought are not mine, that they are yours, that it is a spiritual battle. But, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for the hard times because they make me appreciate you more. I thank you for the good times, but they make me appreciate you more. I thank you for the ugly times, but they make me appreciate you more. To know that you are with me through every step, every station, every place in my life. I thank you, Lord, for the shelter that I have. I thank you for my children. I thank you for transportation. I thank you for my part-time job, and I thank you for my income, God. I thank you for the blessings of Abraham and that Jabez blessing, Lord, that it's coming. I already believe. You are enlarging my territory, and I thank you for each and every child that is walking through the doors of the table of life, seeking you, God. Give me the rhema words to speak so that a child will ask, what must I do to be saved? For we are your children, God. We are your children, God. And we love you more than anything. There's nothing greater than you, God. Nothing more important than you, God. And I give myself away again, Father God, as I ask you to increase, as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. I give this word to you, asking you to speak through me, God, as I ask you to continue healing the sick, healing the shut-in, healing those that are suffering from cold and COVID, and just plain arthritis, God. That are suffering from diabetes, that are suffering from all sorts of ailments that have caused them to be with bedridden, God. I pray for your children, God, that you will show them your wonderful, marvelous life, that you are with each and every one as long as they stay in the light. You will not leave them. You will not forsake them. You will go and get them when they are lost in the dark. But 99 will not do for you, God. One of all, because you keep it 100, God. And all I can say this morning is thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord God, for your great and mighty Son. I am who has always been there. Jesus Christ, my Lord, and thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have been blessed, that you have placed in each and every one of us to lead and guide us, to be in your light, marvelous one. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is and has always been the source of my strength. God will remind you when he was first there. He will remind you when you first felt his presence. I am grateful. I was a little girl, 4 years old, when I felt the presence of God and knew that I had to get to church, that I had to get to the house of God, that I had to be in that place with his presence. And I thank God every day for those that know him and want to be near him, who are not afraid to say to someone, where do you go to church? come visit mine if you don't have a church home. We got, it's time, family. The Lord put on my heart, it's time for evangelists to evangelize. It's time for pastors to lead and teachers to teach. Our time is getting short on this earth. Jesus is coming back. The signs are going to start coming quick and in a hurry. And we got to be ready. Are your bags packed this morning? Are you ready to go into your land of promise? Are you ready to walk into your inheritance? Chapter 13 of Joshua. Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. This is the land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines, all that the Geshurites from Shihar, which is east of Egypt, as far as the border of Akron, toward which is counted as Canaanite. The five lords of the Philistines, the Gezites, the Ashdodites, the Ashkelonites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites from the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Mira that belongs to the Sidonians, as far as Ephek, to the border of the Amorites, the land of the Gibeonites, and all Lebanon toward the sunrise, from Baal-Gad below to Mount Hermon, as far as the entrance of Hamath, all the inhabitants of the mountains from Lebanon, as far as the brook of Mishrephath, and all the cities I will drive out from before the children of Israel, only divided by lot to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now, therefore, divide this land as an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh, with the other half tribe of Reubenites and the Gadites receive their inheritance, which Moses had given them. Beyond the Jordan, eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given them from Arah, which is on the banks of the river Arnon, and the town that is in the midst of the ravine, and all the plain of Medeba, as far as Dibon, all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the border of the children of Ammon, Gilead, and the border of the Geshurites, and the Machkohites, and the Mount Hermon, and all the Bashan, as far as Shelkah, all the kingdom of Og in Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for Moses had defeated and cast out these. Nevertheless, the children of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Machkohites, but the Geshurites and the Machkohites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Only to the tribe of the Levi he had given no inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said to them. And Moses had given to the tribe of the children of Reuben an inheritance according to their families. Their territory was from Aor, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the ravine, and all the plain of Medeba, Heshbon, and all the cities that are in the plain, Dimon, Bamoth, Baal, Bethbaal, Neon, Jahaz, Jahaz, Kedemoth, Mephath, Karjahim, Sema, Zerath, Shahar, on the mountain of the valley Beth Peor, the slope of Pisgah, and Beth Jeshimoth, all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Shinar, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Ashmon, whom Moses had struck with the prince of Midian, Evi, Rakim, Zor, Hur, and Reba, who were princes of Shinar dwelling in the country. The children of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam, the son of Beor, the soothsayer among those who were killed by them. And the border of the children of Reuben was the bank of the Jordan. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben, according to their families, the cities, and their villages. Moses also had given an inheritance to the tribe of Gad, to the children of Gad, according to their families. Their territory was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half of the land of the Amorites as far as Aroer, which is before Rabbah, and from Heshbon to Ramoth Mizpah and Bethim, and from Mahanaim in the border of Debir, and in the valley of Beth-Horon, Beth-Nimrah, Sephthah, and Dathan, the rest of the kingdom of Shinar, king of Heshbon, with the Jordan as its border as far as the edge of the Sea of the Kinnereth, on the other side of the Jordan eastward. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad, according to their families, the cities, and their villages. Moses also had given an inheritance to half of the tribe of Manasseh. It was for half the tribe of the children of Manasseh, according to their families. Their territories was from Manahem, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Or, kingdom of Bashan, and all the towns of Jar, which are in Bashan, 60 cities, half of Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edron, cities of the kingdom of Or and Bashan, were for the children of Mekir, the son of Meshaniah, of Anasha, for half of the children of Mekar, according to their families. These are the areas which Moses had distributed as an inheritance to the plains of Moab and the other side of the Jordan, by Jericho eastward. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord had given no inheritance. The Lord of Israel was their inheritance, as he had said to them. These are the areas which are the chapter 14 of Joshua. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Elijah the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and the half tribes. For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half tribes on the other side of the Jordan. But to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they gave no part to the Levites in the land, except cities to dwell in, with their common lands for their livestock and their property, as the Lord had commanded Moses that the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kizite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me and Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trod shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have always followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, those 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word. So Caleb is 85 years old. And he said, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day the Kenizzite, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron, formerly known as Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Wow. The land had rest from war. What God promises, God will provide. Joshua 13:1, you are old and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. He may sometimes try to paint God in sentimental hues, but he remains as forthright, honest, and unsentimental as always. He tells us the truth, not to hurt us, but to ground us in reality. Exactly. God don't play. You know, you mess up, and now you got to clean up. He will tell you that. You fail, and now you got to get back up. I'm dusting you off. Get back up. It's time to go to war. Get back up. It's time to go to work. Get back up. It's time to do what I have called you to do. Whatever your gift is, use it for the kingdom of God. If you can sing, sing your heart out. If you can count, ask to be on the finance team. If you can dance, dance for the Lord. It's so easy to drop it like it's hot in the club, but can you gracefully fall to your knees for the Lord? Hallelujah. Are you ready to go to work for God? The children of Israel also cheered with the sword Balaam. Balaam spoke many positive, truth, insightful, and even flattering things about God and Israel, Numbers 23 and 20 through 25. Yet as a soothsayer, he demonstrated his wickedness. We cannot pick and choose which commands of God we will obey. Understand, God says stay away from those folks. You can't be going and running to get your horoscope. Oh, let me get this paper. I need to see my horoscope today. Your horoscope is God. You don't need to. I'm a Pisces. I am a water. I am a fish. I'm a Pisces. Okay. And you are this and a that. It does not matter. Leave that stuff alone. I love to look at the stars, but I don't look at them to worship them. I look at them to thank God that every one of those stars is something. It might be a planet. It might be a sun in another galaxy. It might be heaven. Whatever those stars are, God made them. And I'm in awe of him. Don't get caught up in a hyper thing. Don't get caught up in foolishness, because the enemy will use it against you. Joshua 14:9, the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb said, let me remind you what God said about me, what he said about you, that we're going to get our stuff. stuff, that we're going to get our inheritance, that we're going to get our land. He reminded Joshua who they were in the Lord. They weren't just any old body. They were special. Hallelujah. And he said, when we choose to only follow the Lord, we will move heaven and earth, if necessary, to fulfill, whew, hallelujah, his good promises to us. We got to tell God, Lord, I remember what you told me, and I believe that your will is for me to prosper. Your will is for me to do well. Your will is for me to work for the kingdom. And this I will do. Why? Because I love you, Lord, more than anything. You are my best friend. Hallelujah. Thank God. He is your best friend. And the best thing that ever happened in your life. And as we continue in our life lessons, and again, I shout out Dr. Charles F. Stanley and this Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version, and I will say to everybody that listens, get this Bible. It is worth having in your biblical arsenal. You should have every kind of Bible. You should have that NIV, that King James. You should have a New King James. You should have many different Bibles. And the reason being, and get a Message Bible if you just want to read the Bible. The Message Bible, the Story Bible, both are excellent for just sitting down and reading. Reading the Word of God. If you can't understand the thems and the thous, that's why you get the Story. That's why you get the Message Bible. Because both of them will help you just get the word in your heart and in your spirit. They are written like almost like novels with chapters and verses. They are great Bibles to have. If you've never been in church and you don't understand all this stuff we're talking about, get a Message Bible, get a Story Bible. They are wonderful to have. They should be in your biblical arsenal. You know, we should have study words. We should have those things that help us to learn. You know, I have a workbook to study the Bible in a year. You know, those are things that we need to get. You know, get workbooks, get things, get the things you need to help you. And again, this show is not a replacement for church. I am not a replacement for you stepping in the house of God. You need to go to church. I have been out of the ark of safety. I have had my season where I was not stepping foot in a church, especially on the CMEs. I was not going to church on Christmas. I was not going to church on Mother's Day. I was not going to church on Easter. You can count me out. I was not a CME. I would go to church on occasion. I'm just saying, again, the truth is the truth. And sometimes it hurts when you went on occasion. And I realized that I kept trying to go back where God had moved me from. And that's why every time I walked through the doors, I felt the same way. Because I wasn't supposed to be there. And when God took me back, whoo, hallelujah, as Andre Crosby, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Whoo, hallelujah. I can honestly say, as the song would say, I've been so far from you, Lord. And I was far from God. I wasn't in the world. I wasn't doing a whole lot of stuff that I wasn't supposed to be doing. I just didn't go to church. Didn't want to be fooling around with those people. That was my story. It was wrong. And I would admit it. I messed up. And because I messed up, I brought that to my children. And I tell you now, I'm blessed that God gave me another opportunity to make up for the mistake that I made by taking my grandchildren to church. For taking my grandchildren to church. Place where we first received them. We need that. And I got to go back again to those words. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. I feel that I'm so far from you, Lord, but still I hear you calling me. Those simple things that I once knew, their memories keep drawing me. And God, they drew me back to the house of God. I must confess, Lord, I've been blessed, but yet my soul's not satisfied. Renew my faith, restore my joy, and dry my weeping eyes. Hallelujah. We got to ask God to take us back. Take us back to that place where we first received him, where we first believed. And, you know, when I read the course, it says, I tried so hard to make it all alone. I need your help just to make it home. And where is our home? Our home is with God. We got to ask God to take us back. If you stepped out of your square, if you stepped out of the ark of safety, you got to ask God to bring you back. You got to bring it to the remembrance. Lord, this is what you promised me. You said that where my foot has trodden, mine. And God hears you. And as we go to Psalm 44:22, yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul quotes this unsettling verse in the middle of the passage, extorting God's love, Romans 8:36. Why? Because he wanted us to know that even in the worst of circumstances, God's love for us remains unchanged. God's love for us remains unchanged. He loves you. And he loves you without kind of problems. When we go to this psalm and we're going to read that verse again in our psalms, David was going through. He was going through a lot. His people were getting killed. Saul was after him like he was a rabbit. And it was a fox hunt. It was awful. And it says, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hand to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Yet for your sake, we are killed and all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. David was reminding God who you are. I am there. I love you, God. Please awake. Please help me. We've all gone through our help me times in life. When you're going through the darkness of depression, the only thing you can say is, God, help me. I can't get out of this darkness by myself. We've got to ask God. Tell you this. He will give you his hand, and he will pull you through. Back to your square. Back to where he needs you to be. God loves you like that. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Maybe talking to myself. But I tell you this. God is with you. If you got that urge to take that drink, don't do it. God is with you. If the enemy is trying to pull you back into the darkness, hold on to God's unchanging hand. He will not forsake you. Hallelujah. We got to understand who we are and who we belong to. When you're working for God, the devil comes every time to try to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes when he thinks that he can disrupt what you're doing for God. Not today, Satan. And it goes on to say in the Psalm one more time in this life lesson, but chapter 44, verse 22. Yet for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul quotes this unsettling verse in the middle of a passage extolling God's love in Romans 8 and 36. Get my other Bible here. We're going to go real quick to Romans 8 and 36. Romans chapter 8. And verse 36. And Romans 8 and 36 says, and let's go above it and we'll go below. It says, who shall separate us? Come on, y'all. See, that's why God sent me here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And verse 130 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Woo, Jesus. And I got to go on. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the church say amen. Whew. Sometimes you got to go to the rest of the word to get the context. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 14 and 3. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. And we have seen a whole lot of foolish folks with a rod in their mouth. As we go to our title word this morning, Luke chapter 11, and it says this. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that is Luke chapter 1, but we're going to go back real quick to Matthew chapter 6. And when we go to Matthew chapter 6, we also have the Father's Prayer. And when we go to Matthew, this is how he heard it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And when we go over to King James, to Matthew chapter 6, and this is how we as children learn this prayer. And it tells us in Matthew chapter 6, praying and fasting. He told us we shouldn't be like hypocrites and not in repetition, but to pray to the Father. And so join me again in Matthew, if you have King James, in Matthew 6, starting at verse number 10. And it says, and I'm sorry, verse number 9. And it says, and after this matter, therefore pray, for our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that is how we learned it. But you have so many that will put temptation in there, but not where it's supposed to be. They will put all kind of stuff in there. You know, they forget all about the debt. Because a debt is a debt of sin, as we learn in Luke. What did Luke tell us? Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on this journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though, he will not rise and give to him, because he is his friend, and yet became, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offered him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke. And the multitude marveled, but some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, and the ruler of demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing that thought, said to them, every kingdom divided against it is brought to desolation. And I say it again, America. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strange man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divide this world. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through the dry places seeking rest and find none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. I said it again, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened as he spoke, these certain women from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And as we go to a life lesson from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 11, verse 28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. God always promises to bless joyfully obedience, to bless joyful obedience. We delight God's heart when we choose to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do what he commands us to do. And as we go over into a life principle, and it says in Luke 11 and 28, the Lord's simple request often serves as stepping stones to life's most wonderful blessings. Simon Peter illustrates what can happen when we say yes to God. One day a large crowd pressed around Jesus while he preached. The Lord wanted to use Peter's boat as a floating platform from which to address the multitude. So he asked the future apostle to push the vessel out a little way from the shore. Not in itself a particularly remarkable request, Peter's compliance paved the way for staggering blessings. By his example, we learn how essential it is to obey God in even the smallest manners. The noisy crowd received the first blessing of Peter's obedience. The people could now clearly hear Jesus' words. At the conclusion of the lesson, the Lord said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. A second opportunity to say, yes, I know. But this time, Peter must have felt tempted to decline. After all, he had worked the entire night for a catch, but had returned empty-handed. And now this young teacher, a carpenter, by the way, not a fisherman, was telling him to go fishing again. But notice what happened as a result of Peter's second act of obedience. On a day, partner must have counted as a total loss. They pulled in not one, but two overflowing boatloads of fish. Saying yes to the Lord's request resulted in a miracle that transformed the fisherman's life. Consider three reasons why obedience is critical to the successful Christian life. Number one, if you want to get a piece of paper, obeying God in small matters is an essential step to God's greatest blessing. Suppose Peter had said, look, I'm busy cleaning my nets right now. I can't help you because I'm going fishing again tonight. Or he could have said, why don't you ask to use that other boat over there? Or I've already been fishing today. It would be a waste of time to go again. If Peter had said anything other than yes, he would have missed the greatest fishing experience of his life. But because of Peter's obedience, the Lord arranged a miracle that he would never forget. Oftentimes, God's greatest blessings come as a result of our willingness to do something that appears very insignificant. So ask yourself, has God been challenging me to do something seemingly unimportant that I have not yet made an effort to accomplish? And there, is there anything I have rationalized by saying, it's too difficult, I don't want to, or I have to pray about it first? Number two, an obedience always benefits others. Our obedience always benefits others. Think of how many people were blessed by Peter's obedience. Not only could the crowd see the Lord and hear his lesson, but Jesus himself also benefited. Preaching from the boat enabled him to sit down in comfort while he spoke. Then, of course, Peter's friends had a very profitable day. They took in two vessels so full of fish that both began to sink. More importantly, they had the opportunity to witness something supernatural. God often rewards others, in particular those closest to us, as a result of our obedience. For example, no father can obey God without a blessing pouring into the lives of his wife and children. Likewise, a child's obedience will bless him or her parents. Hallelujah. Number three, when we obey, we will never be disappointed. Peter no doubt assumed that Jesus' fishing instructions would amount to a waste of time. But when he complied with the Lord's simple request, the Lord brought about a miracle that gripped him with amazement. Jesus turned an empty boat into a full one. We, like Peter, must recognize that obeying God is always the wisest course of action. He can also take our emptiness, whether related to finances, relationships, or career, and change it into something splendid. Perhaps you hesitate to obey because you fear the consequences. Remember that the same sovereign, omnipotent God who keeps your heart beating and the planet orbiting is more than able to handle the results of your obedience. I don't mean that to obey will be necessarily result in the outcome you desire. Intervening trial could well precede blessing, but even when our expectations do not line up with God's purposes, his ways never end up disappointing us. On the contrary, however, he chooses to bless our obedience, always prove more satisfying in the end. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, mighty word this morning. Thank you for guiding and leading us, God. Thank you for giving us a rhema word. And I love this prayer for today. It says, real future. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there, doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? But you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes or if the Lord will, We will live and do this or that. James chapter 4, 13 through 15, NRSV. And our prayer for this morning as we get ready to wrap up. Lord, keep my thoughts. You know every plan that takes root in my heart. My tendency to set my hopes in the goals I set may get me going. But true hope is only found in you. Lord, may I live with a loose grasp on the plans I said, knowing that whether they happen or not, you have good things in store. Thank you that my future is much brighter than any I could ever dream up, because it will belong to you, Kingdom. As I walk through this life, I pray that I will find pleasure in your goodness that does not change based on circumstances. No matter whether all my dreams come true or every plan I falls apart, you do not change. You are better than all my desires put together. Help me to believe that to the very core of my being. Have your way, God. And the word that God gave for this morning is, if your plans fail, where does the hope of your future lie? Wow. I believe that God was talking to me because he had given me an instruction this morning that I'm like, but God, and God said, just do it. Just do it. And I heard, I got you. Hallelujah. I say that all the time. when I'm helping somebody. I got you. And God just wants us to know that we are never alone, that he's got us. So take everything that you've heard this morning and give all your cares to the Lord, for he's got you. And, of course, remember, the enemy's going to come. He always does, just before a miracle or right after. But we're going to trust God that it's going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. I keep believing. I keep trusting. And I know that God is good. Loving God today and loving all of you. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, sent 507 this morning. Grace and completeness. Hallelujah. And it says this, good morning. Sometimes it's the loss of things that makes you appreciate what you have. Woo! Remember, there's always someone else who's worse off than you. Be grateful. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Wow. Be grateful. Perfect ending to a great word. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As we tell God, I'm grateful that you love me, Lord. I'm grateful that you have come into my life. I'm grateful as if you're here in the room. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings and for your grace. Hallelujah. Give God a shout out. Just say with me, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the praise. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning. We have a couple of minutes left. If there's anybody that God has given a word to share, now is the time to call 213-943-3597 or just push the number 1 on your phone. Whatever your situation, know that God is already handling it and give him thanks. So thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. For again, this is a day that the Lord has made, and be glad in it. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. And who do I work for? I work for the Lord. And I thank him again. And Sister Carolyn said so eloquently, one more time, sometimes it's the loss of things that makes you appreciate what you have. Remember, there's always someone else who's worse off than you. Be grateful and have a wonderful Wednesday. It is a wrap. Hallelujah. I don't think the Lord is ready for us to end right now. Is there someone that has a word that needs to be spoken? So weird. God is not letting me cut you off, which means somebody has a word that needs to go out. But if you choose not to, that's fine, because God's going to end it anyway. So have a great day, family, again. It is a wrap.